Hello and welcome to Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. The pals are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
And Gauz.
Hi.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Tugen Anki, a series that's only a handful of episodes in. Since this is getting a video game, we've decided to cover it using the three-episode rule. Like previous podcasts about new shows, the synopsis won't be as detailed, so do check out the anime if we've piqued your interest. It was animated by Studio Hibari, the studio behind... Well, you remember how the studio which produced Kimetsu Baki City Under Construction was behind most of Duel Masters? Last episode?
Yeah.
Studio Hibari did the first two Duel Masters shows.
Oh.
As well as Tekken Bloodline. Tugen Anki currently has an Anilist score of 68%. Tugen Anki is a manga, but there's also a turn-based role-playing game in production, with more details coming during the Tokyo Game Show in September 2025. It's called Tugen Anki Crimson Inferno. And that's basically all we know. My short synopsis for this anime is... Shiki lives a quiet delinquent life, making airsoft guns, but when his true heritage is revealed, can it remain quiet for long? Altura, what do you have?
Let me know if it spoils too much, but I only did enough that, you know, it's going to be the first episode. After finding out he's an Oni, Shiki's father is killed by the opposing faction, and he's taken to an Oni school to learn to control his blood.
Okay, that cuts the episode length in half. Cuz, what do you have?
An old soldier adopts his sworn enemy's son. Years later, he is killed by a former ally, and the son ends up in another anime military academy.
Right, well, first episode starts with red rain pouring down on two Yakuza-looking guys who are debating what to do with a baby. We then get...
Eat it! That's what you do with a baby, right?
Then we get narration about an Oni from long ago being defeated by a warrior called Momotaro.
You know, the way you described it just made me imagine, like, having Kazuma Kiryu and, what's his face?
Majima?
Majima, debating what to do with a baby. And I'm not sure they would know what to do. You would have, eventually you would have Majima everywhere situation.
We get the title card and then cut to modern day Japan and an apartment above a liquor store. We meet Shiki Ichinose.
Orphanage! Sorry.
We meet Shiki Ichinose, who is bragging about being expelled while talking on the phone. His dad bursts in and abuses him. What? Don't laugh about abuse.
I mean, I guess it's accurate. He had it coming.
He punches him in the head and belittles him.
He had it coming. Really, it's not abuse.
Really, he's trying to just keep those Oni horns down. That's why.
After Dad leaves, an explosion outside gets Shiki's attention, and he goes to look, only to be grabbed by black energy. It's later called black mist, or just mist. I just call it black energy. Just go with it.
I just call it a black tentacle.
The person responsible approaches Shiki and is run over by Shiki's dad. Unfortunately, since he is an M. Bison and is using just a car, the Yakuza-looking person isn't isekai'd.
That's not going to keep him down. Let's go.
Shiki gets in the car and they take off. Shiki's dad explains that Shiki is a descendant of the Oni. And worse, the guy he just ran over is a descendant of Momotaro.
Dad, what's Oni? What's Momotaro?
He just assumes his son knows these legends. Black energy engulfs the car and they abandon it at a warehouse. Shiki is grabbed by the energy and dragged inside, where he's held by a literal web of energy. Slash mist.
Tentacles.
The
it's
almost
thinly veiled tentacle porn.
The almost isekai.
I'm I'm starting to think Gore's downloaded the wrong version of the anime.
Look, it should happen to men too, okay?
It does. What have you been watching?
I never seen that. Send me that anime.
The almost isekai'd man introduces himself as Samidare Momoya and justifies murdering the teenager. But then Shiki's dad manifests dark energy and starts fighting Momoya. This reveals him as Tsuyoshi Momogawara, also a descendant of Momotaro.
You won't have to remember that name much longer.
Yeah, just remember it until my note that says, but he dies. My next note is, but he dies.
No way.
Oh my god, you didn't write notes for the entire fight?
I did not. So Shiki turns into the Spider-Man villain Carnage and exacts revenge.
Oh, I thought you would say he went Super Saiyan. That's interesting.
He goes Super Saiyan and then goes into the Carnage version.
Super Carnage. I have references that aren't Dragon Ball Z, you
know? I'm pretty sure there's some Dragon Ball reference that would cover turning into a Carnage. He uses Kaioken times 10. No, that's...
Kaio-Carnage?
Oh, no.
There we go.
Carnage Instinct. That's all I know about Dragon Ball. I'm sorry.
Ultra Carnage, surely.
Oh, no. Super Saiyan Carnage Super Saiyan?
Shiki turns back after not quite killing Momoya, who then escapes. Shiki is then knocked out by someone on roller skates. And we get the credits.
And there goes the seriousness of the premise. Someone's on the roller skates.
Episode 2 begins with cicadas.
I knew you were going to mention that.
And a dream, which is quickly awoken from. Then we get the credits. The opening song. Slash the credits from the previous episode. I never quite know how to phrase it when they end the first episode with the opening for the rest of the show.
And the episode ends with the opening credits and everyone's like, wait a minute. You okay, sister?
We return to where we just left with roller skates wearing Naito Mudano explaining things. He drags over a whiteboard, writes the names of the Momotaro agency, the villains, and the Oni agency, which he's going to be assessed on whether he can join them. He then drags the whiteboard away because that whole bit was most efficient, apparently. Dude's whole thing is about efficiency, and I did mention every time he was inefficient for no reason. He tries to kill Shiki. Shiki transforms and loses the fight. When he comes to, he begs Mudano to make him his apprentice. Mudano denies the request and says he's going to kill Shiki the most efficient way. That means creating an umbrella out of blood, in case you didn't know the most effective way to murder someone.
Weirdly, this is the second time I get I see someone attacking with an umbrella, because there's a boss like that in Lies of P Overture. And I was like, who fights with an umbrella? I guess I'm in the wrong.
Because multiple people do. There was that one guy in an anime we've covered who fought with a flagpole.
That seems more, like, first of all, metal, but more efficient.
Wasn't it Guilty Gear?
Hmm.
They have a scuffle, but when Shiki controls his berserker self, Mudano agrees to let him live. He goes on to explain that they're on an island called Hell's Doorstep in the Resetsu Academy, an Oni military school. Shiki goes to class and meets everyone. I don't use all of their names, so I'm not going to name them here. We get a little look at their personalities before Mudano takes them outside to play tag. The game is that they have an hour to get through Shinra Forest without being tagged by him. And the episode ends. And the ending, I've got to say, I actually love that they do a TikTok dance montage.
Is that what it is?
I mean, they're clearly filming on their phones for something.
And I understand TikTok, so I wouldn't know.
Me neither, but I've seen TikTok dances on Saturday Night Live.
I don't understand SNL either.
We start the third episode like a minute before the second episode finished, so we have to rewatch most of the end of the second episode again. And then the narrator explains it all again. They're grouped into three teams and told to retrieve one of two balls before they reach the end, otherwise they're disqualified. Shiki is teamed with Jin Kogusaki and Homare Byobigara. Shiki immediately picks a fight with Jin, who can use his Oni blood easily, unlike Shiki. Shiki gets hurt, protecting Homare, so an Attack on Titan Titan forms out of her blood and tries to kill the other two.
Yeah.
Jin fights it while Modano assesses from afar, but he doesn't do much. Shiki finally works out how to use his Oni blood and blasts the Titan's head off, much to everyone's surprise. Even though that's... do they not know that's how their powers work? You think, my blood will do this, and then it does it. Like, he created a huge cannon. Why would it not explode Titan's head?
My assumption is just that he's been a weakling this whole time. So, maybe he makes a cannon and it's a water cannon or something. I don't know how Oni blood works, okay?
Then you fail and you've just been kicked out of the academy.
I was disappointed that the big secret to using your blood was to imagine the thing that you want the blood to turn into. Like, that's... Like they treat it like that's such a big thing. Like, you could have told him that. Like, it's not that's such a big deal. Unless he's like, he would be like a fucking toddler, then yeah. It would be a big deal.
Look, Goz, the most efficient way to get him to use his Oni blood is to not explain anything and to get him out in the forest. Because otherwise, why would this guy who's all about efficiency like not have talked to him and explained anything and given him 10 minutes to process being kidnapped and losing his father?
I mean, if the secret turned out to be more complex, more thought out, then it would be justified, because maybe you couldn't learn that so easily. But no, it's just imagine the thing. Just imagine a circle and then use your pen to draw it. Like, that's all. That's all you do. It's like if you would go to school, to primary school, and you had an art class and your teacher just play basketball, figure it out how to draw a thing.
Anyway, that's the end of the episode with everyone surprised. So, has this made you interested in finding out more about the game in September?
Sure. Why not?
That'll be a no from me, but not because I didn't like the anime, but because... So I went to check out the trailer of the game because I wanted to know what we were walking into, and it just looks like another gacha, and it's like, oh, I don't need this. And then I closed the trailer and never looked back.
It's a turn-based RPG available on PC and mobile. Why do you think it's going to be a gacha game?
the second platform. That's the one. That's the one I'm concerned about.
Okay. Based on the first three episodes, is it a yata, a nani, or a baka, Arturo?
For me, I think this is a yata. The first episode was, I want to say, really okay. I really hated the protagonist, and it's really difficult to get through a show where you hate the protagonist. I was like, oh no, I'm going to hate this. But he cooled down really quickly and became funny and kind of likable. Like, there's a scene where he's crying and then he gets mocked, and that was really charming to me. So, yeah.
And then goes, shut up, I'll kill you!
Yeah, it's like, I really like that dissonance between personality that he seems to have. Like, falling in love with the girl instantaneously was way too funny. So, yeah, surprisingly, this is a yata for me.
I don't think he fell in love. I think it was more of a big brother wants to protect her.
I don't know. She has huge breasts. That's probably why.
That's why you fell in love with her.
I'm not going to dispute that.
So, Gauz, what about you?
It's a nanny for me. I like the first episode, but yeah, then it turns into another military school anime, which doesn't automatically make it bad, but I don't like that trope, and I wonder why that's a popular trope. And later, something I already talked about, it doesn't seem to be very thought out. Yeah, it has cool visuals and very, very, very good animation, but so far it seems kind of dumb and predictable.
Okay. I don't think I disagree with that.
I quite liked it. When the episode ended, I wanted another episode. I was kind of upset it ended.
It moves at a good pace.
Oh, yeah. The only issue comes from the fact that the fights take so long, there's nothing for me to write about. That's the only issue I had with it.
The fights take so long that you need to wait for the episode for the next episode to find out what happens with the fight.
I also have questions about... I know someone says Oni have more blood than normal people. how much more blood... Because it's like six people.
It's like, how many organs would you have to give up to have more blood? Are your bones hollow and you have blood in there? Is your brain gone? I mean, Shiki's tiny, so probably has more blood there.
There was more blood in each fight than the entire of Corpse Party.
Oh, that's why the huge breasts for the blood.
What about the guys?
I don't know.
It's in the no area.
Where their hands baggy?
Shiki's well endowed under the belt.
Do they have enough space in their pants for huge nuts? Maybe.
So, would you like to keep watching this?
I think, yeah, I definitely might keep watching it in the future. I'm adding it to the list of things I actually do want to keep watching.
Maybe a couple more episodes.
I'm in for the long haul, I think, with this. I did find it quite fun. The opening song I quite enjoyed. The TikTok dance visuals of the ending are fun. Of course, I'm not going to watch the end credits for every episode, but still. So yeah, that about brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining me, Artura and Gauz.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGreen.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Greencast podcast. Until next time, game on.